Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Big Papi headed for the Hall of Fame. Of course, earlier we learned that Tony Oliva and Jim Cott are headed for the Hall as well. Should be a great summer in Cooperstown, New York. Of course, David Ortiz spent some time in Minnesota before going on to fame and fortune with the Red Sox. And, of course, the MLB lockout continues. And joining us to discuss all of these matters, Bob Nightingale. He covers the major leagues for USA Today and is good enough to join us from time to time. He's an Odyssey Sports Insider. Bob, how you been?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with the Hall of Fame ballot. Big Papi gets in.
Yeah, I mean, they might be the greatest DH of all time. I mean, Frank Thomas played a lot of first base, so I kind of exclude him. I definitely think it's a better DH than Edgar Martinez. Iconic in Boston. I mean, you talk about, Boston heroes, sports heroes. You know, you're talking about, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Tom Brady, and, right there is Ortiz.
Yeah, so David Ortiz gets in, very, very popular, and of course, Twins fans think, well, what might have been? He left the Twins, went to the Red Sox, and the rest is history. Really rewrote the history book for the Red Sox in a lot of ways. Decades and decades of frustration, and Big Papi was right in the middle of that.
He was. I mean, I think he's one of only three guys, Babe Ruth and Reggie Jackson and Ortiz, as far as, 500-plus home runs and three World Series rings. Just an iconic figure. I mean, he changed the whole landscape of the Red Sox. They certainly don't win three World Series without him.
And we came really close to not having anyone get into the Hall of Fame. David Ortiz mentioned on just shy of 78% of the ballots. Did that number surprise you, Bob, that he only got 78% of the vote?
It didn't, Steve. I mean, I thought it was going to be tuck and go. I thought he would get in. But remember, he had the positive drug test, the anonymous drug test in 2003. He's the first guy in baseball history to go into a Hall of Fame with a positive drug test. So it didn't. Maybe it's a false positive. We don't know for sure. But that part haunted him. If it wasn't for the positive drug test, I think he would have got 85-90%. It's just like, Mike Piazza or Jeff Bagwell. I mean, it took them three or four times to get in the Hall of Fame on the ballot when, if not for the steroid suspicions, they would have been first ballot Hall of Famers.
So Cooperstown will have a lot of Red Sox fans and quite a few Twins fans, because I mentioned Tony Oliva and Jim Cott will get into the Hall of Fame this summer as well. And, of course, David Ortiz spent some time with the Twins, so it should be a fun summer for those folks that want to make the trip to upstate New York for that. We'll talk about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens for a moment. Their final year of eligibility, and you know, they came up short. It's not a surprise, but I know, Bob, that you've been firmly on the side of Bonds and Clemens and cast votes for these guys. And I think you make a great point in all of this, and that, you know, the rules were completely different.
Yeah, there were no rules back then. You know, it's like before 94, there was no steroid rules. There was no drug testing. So, you know, if you're going to go up to, I-35 and they say, hey, you're not going to have any policemen, or you're not going to have any radar guns for 100 miles, you're not going 55. You know, you're going to go 80, 85, whatever. And that's the way it was. I mean, steroids and HGH and amphetamines are rampant. I think they're at least at, 50%, 60% of guys doing something. Remember now, when they did the anonymous drug testing in 03, they told every single player when you're going to be tested. And 104 guys still got, tested positive. And that's when they knew the testing was coming. So if they didn't know when the testing being announced, we might have had 400, 500, 600 guys test positive.
Right. So it's changed. And I can't imagine there's a scenario where Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens get in on what we've come to know as the old timers ballot. That isn't going to happen.
Well, we'll see. I don't think right away. I agree with you, Steve. When I go to Cooperstown every summer, they say, hey, we don't want these guys in there. Joe Morgan, who was on the Hall of Fame board directors, said we don't want cheaters in there. But, they could be in there one day. I don't know when, we'll 20, see. 25 years. It's not going to happen this year. It really isn't. But we'll see. And then that's their only way out now into the Cooperstown.
Yeah, and the one thing that has been true ever since I was a kid, and what I still love about the game, is there's great debate about the Hall of Fame every year. And it's not necessarily true in other sports. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, you get the announcement around the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay. And then, there isn't a great deal of debate year in and year out. There's guys that should be in the Hall of Fame, like the great Jim Marshall, the longtime Minnesota Viking and Iron Man, and played all those consecutive games and all those great teams. But it's not like MLB, that year in and year out, there's a lot of attention on the Hall of Fame ballot.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve. I mean, you got to be, the elite, the cream of the cream to get in. There's so many good players that don't get in, had nice careers. I think it'll be a big case in a couple of years with Joe Mauer. Is this Joe Mauer a Hall of Famer? He played more games at first base than catcher. He's having 6 home runs a year as that first baseman. That'll be a fascinating case. Whether he gets in, like in NFL, he'd be automatically. Baseball, he may never get in. We'll see.
Right. Yeah. A lot of great examples, a lot of fine players. You look at even a player like, Torrey Hunter, who had a great career with the Minnesota Twins and was with the Angels and, spent time with the Tigers, comes back with the Twins. Torrey Hunter had a really good career, but he's probably not a Hall of Famer.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, fabulous career. But Andrew Jones, who had a better career, isn't in. Andrew Jones isn't even close. And Andrew Jones is the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen. Fabulous career. And, Torrey had a magnificent career. Not as good as Andrew Jones. But if Andrew Jones isn't in, Torrey can't get in.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Bob, lockout continues. Here we are at the end of January. People are really getting nervous about spring training starting on time. What's your read on it right now? Where are the players and owners?
Well, I'd be shocked if it starts on time now, Steve. Time's running out here. I don't think people even know it's a lockout. They won't know until Super Bowl is over on the 13th of February. They're talking the same language now. I don't think they're that far apart. I really don't, Steve. But do I think spring training will start on time? No. Regular season will definitely start on time. I think spring training will start a week or two late.
And that's good news, because the players were pretty quick to take a couple items off the table. They backed off very quickly on free agency. Did it surprise you that the players backed off in a couple of items almost right away?
Not free agency. I mean, it's been around since 1976, so that wasn't going to change.
Six-year number.
The owners said, "Hey, we're going to back off arbitration." They want to eliminate arbitration. That wasn't going to happen. So they're kind of shadow boxing right now. But at least they're speaking the same language. They're talking about the same issues. So, you know, it will happen. I think if they meet like 4 or 5 days straight, it's going to happen.
Now, let's get back to the free agency number. I know the players were trying to maybe move that number, but I think they got the sense quickly that the owners weren't going to budge on 6 years. But there still could be a mechanism where there aren't games played with service time. That's one of the things that still continues to bug players, where there's a kid who's, you know, done everything he can in the minor leagues and had a great spring training and still doesn't get, you know, doesn't go north with the big club, and fans are saying, well, this service time thing stinks. And then, you know, in May, they're called up. And I would assume that's still got to be somewhere on the table on playing games with service time.
No, you're right. They're trying to change that. They keep bringing up Chris Bryant. You're absolutely right. It's like, okay, if your guy wins Rookie of the Year, if your guy has a high WAR score, wins, you know, top three in Cy Young, you know, you're going to get top draft picks and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's going to change. And I think MLB wants that to change, too. You should not be penalizing guys. Hey, it's supposed to be 6 years for free agency, not seven. So, yeah, that part will change. They'll get more money. The minimum salary is too low for in baseball. It's the lowest, you know, I'm not sure about hockey, but I know it's lower than NFL or NBA. So they want to get more money up front to those young guys. Right now, it's like I saw the stat, 74% of the guys make less than $1 million. You know, we all hear about the guys making $200-300 million, but, you know, too few players, the young players, aren't, you know, making big money.
Yeah, and that argument's probably going to wear thin because, you know, billionaires and millionaires fighting over money, people get bored with it pretty quick. But Bob, you've always been an optimist. Now, it doesn't sound like pitchers and catchers are going to report on time, but we could still see pitchers and catchers report by the end of February. Do you think that's still in play?
I really do, Steve. Yeah. I don't think there's any way there'll be one regular season game canceled or pushed back. I don't. So no, I think they'll be in play. I think we may have a week of a spring training games canceled, 2 weeks maximum. And that's all. But I think we'll see, you know, these pitchers and catchers and everybody else, position players report by March 1st so we can have a real regular season.
Well, and it is going to be a frenzy, Bob. I'm sure you've thought about this. You know, you're going to be putting in some long days and the people that cover the game full time because, you know, every club has needs and they're going to need to fill those very quickly. There's going to be a mad scramble for the available pitching.
Oh, yeah. Some guys will drop in their laps, you know, whether it's the Twins or, you know, whatever team you're rooting for. There's going to be some guys that start panicking at the end of March and say, you know what, let me sign a cheap deal right now. So I think we'll see a lot of that and a lot of waiting and patience and teams saying, you know, we'll grab our guy. We're not going to pay big dollars. We'll keep waiting and get our guy at the right price.
All right. Bob, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chief.
There he is, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Covered the major leagues for a long time and an Odyssey Sports Insider. Will come back. The Wild hit the road. They'll be in the New York area. They get the Rangers tomorrow night, then the Islanders over the weekend. We will talk Wild hockey in a moment here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. And then still to come here on Sports to the Max, we got a lot. Cal Soderquist is going to have a quick tease of what's going on the pregame show. Timberwolves and Warriors from San Francisco tonight. And then we'll talk a little high school hockey. They're ranked number four in 2A. The Roseville Rams and their first-year head coach Greg Lund will join us following the news at 8. They're going to be in the cities taking on St. Michael Albertville tomorrow night. So we'll visit with Greg Lund. They're going to get out of the cold and come to the cities where it's quite a bit warmer. It is 7:19 here at News Talk. E3O WCCO. The Wild hit the road, and they are going to be in New York. They're going to be able to see how it is to be an Eastern Conference team, because the teams that play out west have a whole different travel scenario than they do in the east. I mean, you think about all the clubs in the greater New York, Philly, Boston area, just kind of in that corridor between D.C. and Boston. And then you got trip over to Toronto or up to Montreal, and you got Buffalo in the mix. And then you got Pittsburgh, and you got Detroit in the east. And, oh, by the way, Columbus is there. The travel is just a whole different ballgame. And the Twins, or the Wild, will get a taste of that when they get the Rangers on Friday and then the Islanders on Sunday. And they'll just be able to say, I would assume, Midtown Manhattan, have the game at the Garden, hang out on Saturday, and then make the trip out to the island to take on the Islanders before heading back this way and taking on Chicago on Wednesday. So it is a huge, huge benefit in the East. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I'm glad the NHL, they do the home and home, so you see everybody in your building once during the season. Of course, a year ago that wasn't the case when everyone was locked into their divisions and the Canadian teams. But I'm pretty impressed by what the Wild have been able to do this year. And Kirill Kaprizov got injured, the cheap shot in Boston, bounced back quickly, so they're a superstar. And it could have been much, much worse. That could have been a much bigger injury to Kaprizov in Boston that night. But he missed the game with Alexander Ovechkin in the Capitals. But he was still able to come back and has been a huge contributor. And when you look at the standings now, Minnesota Wild, after that really rough stretch leading up to the COVID shutdown, and then, of course, the NHL Winter Classic in the brutal cold, they didn't play well at all. That didn't go very well. But generally, since then, they've been getting the job done in a tough division with a lot of challenges. Cam Talbot's been out, and Kaapo Kähkönen's done a really nice job. I've just really been impressed, and you can't help but be impressed what Bill Guerin, the general manager, inherited, and the idea that at some point they were going to have to swallow a couple of really big pills in getting rid of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise and dealing with the cap hits. And they aren't fully into cap hell yet on that. They still have to weather that storm going forward until those contracts are completely off the books. But I still say, in general, Bill Guerin has done an great job, and Dean Evason has done a terrific job as head coach. And they're hanging in there points-wise in the division. They've got a good cushion over Dallas in the five hole, a really good cushion over Winnipeg. They're right on the heels of St. Louis. Colorado's starting to take off, and I don't think anybody's surprised by that. I don't think anybody is surprised. Colorado got off to a relatively slow start. They are the class of the division, and I think it'll be a major upset if ultimately the Colorado Avalanche don't put their name on the Stanley Cup. Florida's been a big surprise over in the East in the Atlantic Division. The New York Rangers, surprising right now, leading the Metropolitan Division. And, you know, Colorado has just really started to take flight. But in reality, you know, the Wild still have a chance to run down the Nashville Predators and the St. Louis Blues in the division, and they've got a lot of games in hand. The Wild have only played 38. St. Louis has already played 42. Nashville's already played 44. So the Wild are really in pretty good shape behind the Colorado Avalanche in the Central Division. And, you know, Chris Tubbs, when it comes to the Minnesota Wild, and you talk about a general manager coming into a difficult situation, that was Bill Guerin with the Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the show, we talked about the new Viking general manager, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, and the huge decisions in front of him. Bill Guerin isn't out of the woods yet, because those contracts for Parisi and Suter are going to be impacting this team for a few more seasons. And that's not going to be easy. And Adolfo-Mensah has got that same thing in front of him. There are some cap issues associated with Kirk Cousins and some of those contracts. So, and I like the way Bill Guerin has navigated this. And, of course, getting Kirill Kaprizov to come over from the KHL was huge. And now with a superstar in the lineup and someone you can build the future around, it made it easier to get rid of Parisi and Suter. So, tip of the cap to Bill Guerin. He's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, he really has. And like you were saying, you knew that the Parisi and Suter contracts, you were going to have to eventually look at those things, you know, dead in the eye and figure out how to handle them. And I give him credit. He ripped it off like a Band-Aid. Whereas I think that's the big difference between the Vikings. And, you know, Vikings kicked the can down the road with Kirk Cousins. And Bill Guerin's like, hell with it. We're gonna get rid of this. We're going to bite the bullet, and we'll figure it out. And, I mean, you're seeing why he built some Stanley Cup winners in Pittsburgh. I mean, you're seeing that DNA right now with this team.
Yeah, and what I will say about Guerin is he came into the job eyes wide open and probably told Craig Leopold, the owner. And at the time, we all know this, revisiting the history of the Minnesota Wild just a little bit, that at that point in time, he had to sign Parisi and Suter. He had to make that deal
knowing that,
and he's a smart guy, knowing that down the road it was going to cause problems, because at that moment in time, season ticket holders were leaving, people who owned the fancy seats, the club's seats, the suites, those were trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
the club was going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and you got, I don't know the last time, Steve, that the same team has gotten the best forward and the same defenseman in the same free agency period, because Suter and Parisi were the best forward and best defenseman that were out there on the market, and the Wild got them both. And I mean, I remember that July 4th, like, it was just like, I mean, I swear, I thought there was going to be a parade that was going to be down Kellogg. I really thought the way that that thing was received.
The only problem was is that they were both the best players available, but they weren't superstars. They weren't talents that can transform a franchise. They were talents that helped save the franchise and generate new interest. And once again, it turned into a situation that at the end of those contracts, you knew it was going to be ugly. What made it easier for Bill Guerin? Kirill Kaprizov. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have the weather. We'll come back. We'll talk NFL playoffs. Championship Sunday. We'll get into it in a moment here on News Talk. E3OWCCO. Championship Sunday in the NFL, the AFC title game in the early window on Sunday afternoon. That'll be 2 o'clock on CBS. And then the night game on Fox, the NFC Championship game. Let's go to the early game. AFC title game in Kansas City. The Bengals and Kansas City. The home team favored by 7. The over-under, a very big number, 54.5. Anything over 50 in an NFL game is a big number. I just don't know if I see Cincinnati putting up big numbers on the road at Kansas City, but they went into Tennessee and got it done in a rock'em sock'em game. Joe Burrow got beat up bad, Chris Tubbs, and they still found a way to get it done. I'm not counting them completely out, But at 7 points, I think Kansas City wins and covers. That's been my gut feeling all week.
I think Kansas City wins, but I don't think they cover, Steve.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just a few weeks ago. I mean, week 17, Bengals beat the Chiefs 34-31. And, I mean, that was a last-second field goal by Evan McPherson. And, you know, that was, you know, happened last week. You know, Ja'Marr Chase absolutely lit up Kansas City. 11 catches, 266 yards. I mean, Kansas City loved to blitz. And Joe Burrow went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Now, Josh Allen did it and came up short. Now, I think that the 9 sacks last week against the Titans, I think it's going to be real
ridiculous.
I think it's going to be real risky for Kansas City to blitz because they know that Ja'Marr Chase, he can match Tyreek Hill. And the Bengals shut down Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in that game. But ultimately, this is about the quarterbacks. I think both guys are going to have big games. I think the Chiefs right now are just a better team. I think they win by field goal. I'm going to go 35-32. I'm going to take the big number.
Kansas City's playing really well. I will say this, and you make a good point about Cincinnati and Kansas City. That was week 17. This is the AFC Championship game. This is in Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to go with, I don't think Cincinnati and Joe Burrow are ready yet.
They're not ready for that jelly. That's what you're saying?
I'm just saying they're not quite ready yet. I'm very high on Joe Burrow. I like what they've done in Cincinnati. You have to be impressed. The grit they've shown, they obviously have an elite quarterback in Joe Burrow. I am impressed. I'm just going to go with, I don't think they're ready, and that's why I think Kansas City wins and covers in this game, and they're going to go to another Super Bowl.
I'm going to say look out for one guy, and that's Trey Hendrickson on that Cincinnati defensive line. Watch for big number 91. That's what I'm saying.
All right. I know a former producer now working for the Baltimore Orioles radio network, Kevin Reed, huge Ohio guy, huge Cincinnati Bengals fan. I mean, in a way, I'm pulling for him. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me in this particular game. I'm not going to be laying down a wager. I'm not going to be gambling on it. I would love to see another good game because that Buffalo-Kansas City game still brings a smile to my face. I just think about what transpired that night and how
fun.
Good that was. It was spectacular sports entertainment. All right, let's get to the other game. The NFC Championship game, San Francisco at SoFi to play the LA Rams. By the way, the site of the Super Bowl in February. Rams favored by 3.5. The over-under on this, 8.5 points lower at only 46. I will go back to what I said before. I generally don't trust Matthew Stafford, particularly against this very physical 49er defense. And it stands out to me the number is 3.5 for the Rams. Usually, home teams get 3 at home. So, odds makers are torn. I said it going into Green Bay. I think San Francisco can win this game straight up. Turned out to be right. I think San Francisco is going to go in and beat the LA Rams again with Jimmy Garoppolo, a very average quarterback. It's going to be San Francisco and Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
I mean, ultimately, which team is going to be able to run the ball better? I think Cam Akers coming back from that torn Achilles has been a great story. But the 49ers just run the ball better than anybody else in the playoffs right now. They get an average of 88 yards more per game on the ground. I mean, that's
amazing.
That is a big, big difference. And you limit the times that Jimmy Garoppolo has to throw the ball.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I'm not saying that he's a liability, but at this point, he's that quote-unquote game manager. And by the way, your best player on offense is Debo Samuel. Guess what? They've been running Debo Samuel several different areas. I mean, he's been a wide receiver out wide. He's been in the slot. He's been a running back. He's been pretty much everything that you need So I think that, yeah, I think it's San Francisco, and I think it's Kansas City, just like it was a couple of years ago. But I would say something about me would like to see the Bengals and the 49ers in a rematch of a couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah, it just is one of those where San Francisco right now, they go on the road, they seem to have the Rams number, and they're just so physical. I think they're going to get after Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. They're going to create mistakes, and they're going to create turnovers. And I just think this is a case in this NFC championship game that defense is going to win the NFC title. And I just really like the 49ers. Do I think they're good enough to slow down Patrick Mahomes and win the Super Bowl? I don't. I'm in Kansas City. They're going to get it done. They're going to beat Cincinnati, and then they're going to beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I'm already making my Super Bowl prediction, Chris Tubbs.
Man, good for you. Good for you. Well, let's just hold off on that. Pump the brakes there, hot shot. Let's just see what happens this weekend, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Don't put the cart before the horse there, Stevie. Come on now.
All right, let's pin it down, though. You think the Rams get it done or the 49ers get it done?
I think it's the 49ers, and once again, we are going to have a team come up one game short of playing in their home stadium. I mean, that's happened before. I can't remember rumor has it it's happened before.
And by the way, at this moment, Tom Brady is not retired. That has not happened that I'm aware of. Have you heard anything on Brady?
Nope.
Okay.
Not yet.
Just want to make sure we get that out there.
We're on the same page.
Quick break. We're going to come out and talk Timberwolves. Cal Soderquist will give us a rundown of what's coming up on the pregame show tonight. It'll be the Timberwolves and the Warriors from San Francisco. Pregame 8:30, tip off just after 9 with Alan Horton. Cal joins us in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Timberwolves on the road tonight at Golden State. Pregame 8:30, tip just after 9. Cal Soderquist and Alan Horton. Then they're in Phoenix a little bit earlier start tomorrow night, pregame 7:30, tip just after 8 o'clock. Same deal both nights after our Timberwolves Radio Network coverage, Henry Lake and Timberwolves tonight. And then they return home and take on Utah on Sunday night. Speaking of Cal, he joins us right now. How you been?
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, good to visit with you, Cal. Let's start. First game of the road trip against Portland. Anthony Edwards' night at Moda Center. Wow, was that fun.
It certainly was. He pours in 40, 14 came in that fourth quarter, and he also had some big buckets late in the third, too, as the Wolves kind of kept themselves within striking distance in that one. So he's a ton of fun to watch, and he can kind of, I don't know if it's like a bowling ball where once he gets rolling, sort of, maybe, you know, it starts to snowball. Maybe that's a better description, but he really was a problem for that Blazers defense, and he kind of sparked everything for Minnesota in a game where the other guys, even, you know, Cat and D'Lo, that other two-thirds of the big three, they were kind of secondary pieces in terms of what Ant was doing to help the Wolves get that win.
Yeah, and it's been fun because in the win over Brooklyn, Cat had kind of a quiet night and really got rolling in the fourth quarter. And I think the Timberwolves would accept that out of their big three, whether it's Anthony Edwards or Karl-Anthony Towns or D'Angelo Russell on any given night, take over on the fourth quarter and get the W and move on.
Yeah, all three of those guys have really kind of echoed that, too, especially in recent wins. I think D'Lo said something to the effect last night that they're learning that, you know, they can sort of have that hot hand approach. I mean, you could even look at the game-winning play or sequence from Tuesday in Portland where, you know, the play was supposedly drawn up for Cat, but the defense had it covered well. D'Lo took his man off the dribble and got to the rim and got that goaltending call. So it's really, you know, they're able to make defenses kind of pick their poison. And I think the team did a good job of getting away from a little too much isolation ball earlier in the season. You know, these guys are all so talented and probably are tempted to just try to take defenses, you know, one-on-one, but sometimes that becomes more of a one-on-two or even a one-on-three scenario. So they're moving the ball a lot, and still each one of those guys is really letting the game come to them.
Cal Soderquist joining us from the Timberwolves Radio Network. You hear him every Timberwolves game, pregame, halftime, postgame. Alan Horton standing by with all the play-by-play. Golden State tonight, Phoenix tomorrow night. I've talked about this with some of the beat writers in the lead-up to this road trip. Golden State, Phoenix, back-to-back on a Thursday and Friday night. That is as tough a back-to-back as you're going to find anywhere in the NBA.
It really is. And maybe the Wolves have had back-to-backs where they travel more in between games, certainly. But in terms of the caliber of opponent, you know, these are the top two teams in the Western Conference. The Warriors especially are getting closer and closer to full strength. They won't still have Draymond Green tonight. But Steph Curry was missing in that most recent matchup at the Target Center a little less than 2 weeks ago. He's back tonight. Andrew Wiggins was just named an all-star starter. I'm sure he'll be playing with some extra motivation tonight against the Wolves like he always kind of does. The back-to-back, you know, against the Warriors and against the Suns, it will really test the Wolves. And I think even if you look ahead to the coming games at home, too, the Utah Jazz at home Sunday and the Denver Nuggets on Tuesday next week, it's a really tough stretch. And I think it made that win over Portland all that much more important, but it's a great opportunity, too, for the Timberwolves, I think, in two different senses. A, they obviously can gain some more ground in the Western Conference standings, and as we creep into February and you know, get into the second half of the season, it's fun to be able to look at the standings and say, hey, where are the Wolves? Where are the Clippers? Where are the Lakers, teams that we're competing with in that playoff picture? But I think the other reason this stretch is important for the Wolves, not only to gain ground in the standings, but to just gain confidence and put together some good efforts against some of the elite, elite teams. I mean, these next four teams are all very much contenders and could easily come out of the West, depending on, you know, how health looks 2.5 months from now.
But this is fun to be at the end of January, Cal, and think in these terms where it's kind of like, okay, the Timberwolves have a chance. Maybe they steal one tonight, or maybe they steal one tomorrow night on the road, and then they come home. I mean, this is fun because the Timberwolves are healthy right now, and as we pointed out, they're getting a different guy stepping up in the fourth every night. Why not?
Yeah, and I think you have to embrace it, especially as Wolves fans who certainly have suffered through some lean seasons. I think it was mentioned recently, you know, this is just the second time since the 2017-18 season, that first Jimmy Butler season, that the Wolves are above 500 after the halfway point. We're into the second half of the season, and they're 24-23. Sure, it's just one game above 500, but it just kind of gives you an idea of how rare this is, you know, in terms of some of those tough years, like I said. So you got to enjoy it, embrace it, and it couldn't hurt to, you know, follow closely some of these other results and maybe root against some of these teams. You know, the Wolves, I believe, are just a game and a half back of Denver for that sixth seed. And I think the Wolves have stated it several times, the players have, that they would obviously prefer to not have to sweat that play-in tournament where
right.
you might have to win to get in. You might have to play on the road to do that. If you can get into the top six, then you've got it made in terms of what the Wolves are shooting for.
All right, Cal, we got to run real quick. What's coming up on the pregame at 8:30?
Yeah, Alan's got a great convo with his radio counterpart with the Warriors, Tim Roy, another one of, you know, okay, my absolute favorite radio broadcasters in the NBA. So Tim Roy gives us a great breakdown of this Warriors team and some good Steph Curry stories. So a great conversation between two of the best in the biz with Alan and Tim Roy.
And I would assume Chris Finch as well.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, we got to run. There he is. Cal Soderquist, look forward to it. Pre-game show coming up at 8:30, Timberwolves and Warriors from the Bay Area tonight. Quick break. We have the news. We'll talk a little high school hockey. We'll go to Roseau, and then the Wolves and Warriors at 8:30 right here on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.